So we are starting a new series today. It is going to be 6 weeks on what we're calling the power to change. And we are over halfway through 2023, which is hard to believe, right? We are closer to Christmas. Yeah, get ready. So Prime Day's coming up. You better lock it down. Anybody have any resolutions that are still going strong? Anyone? My hand is only up as an example. I have zero resolutions that are going strong. My wife and I, we started intermittent fasting at the beginning of the year. She is killing it. I am not. And which is a part of the reason why I got to get back on that hoverboard. But how many of us, though, and don't have to raise your hand, I would imagine the vast majority of us had something that they wanted to change or alter or be better at when 2023 started. Right? And that just kind of comes with every year. There's always something where we're like, man, I want to be in the Word more. Or I want to get healthy, or I want to spend quality time with certain people, or I want to spend more time doing things that I love rather than things that I feel like, oh, I have to do this. And if you are still going strong at something, and it doesn't even have to be anything major, but if you've got something that you started and you're still going strong at it, you deserve an award at this point. It's July. Because the vast majority of us are trying to kind of use summer, because it's the midway point. We use summer as a motivator, maybe to work a little less or to lose a little weight or any number of things. We set goals. And the thing about goals is by this point, by July 2nd, which by the way, we're 2 days away from the 4th of July, just FYI. And if you're new to the area or you didn't, July 4th here in Kingston, I hope to see you at the parade. It still is the longest running parade west of the Mississippi. You want to know why? Because there was like 5 trucks that drove down the middle of the road on the 4th of July in 2020, and so they considered it a parade. So there you go. That's how we keep it going. But would love to see you at that, and then they got a big fireworks show. It's going to be a ton of fun. The thing about goals, though, by this point, is you may feel like, okay, we tried. We failed. What's the point in still going? Like, half the year is gone. Does it even really matter? Right? Maybe it was that you wanted to read your Bible more, and you were good at first, and then you struggled with it, and it hasn't really happened. Maybe you wanted to work less, and you wanted to be more present with your family, and it just has not happened. Maybe you've said, oh, I want to be at church more, or I want to be more involved, and it just hasn't happened. Hey, good news, at least you're here today, right? So you made it. So there's one Sunday out of the year. I'm proud of you. But these next 6 weeks, these are for you. They're for the 99% of us who have failed at the things that we wanted to do better. The 99% of us that have fallen short on our goals, the things we've wanted to change, and those of us that honestly just feel like change maybe isn't possible. So if you're sick of being stuck, today is for you. The good news is that you're not alone. There's notes on your seats if you would like to kind of follow along. There's some areas on the back of it that you can fill out as we go to. But let's jump into scripture here. This morning is all about being sick of being stuck. And we're going to take communion in a little while. But let me open with this. The Apostle Paul, he wrote over half of the New Testament, in case you were wondering. And he understood this feeling of being sick of being stuck, and he understood it well. When he was talking about the role of the Old Testament law, when we're talking about the role of the Old Testament law, the whole point of it is to show us our sin nature. That's why the Old Testament law existed, is to show you it's impossible for you to do this on your own. There's hundreds of things there. It was to show your need for God. And Paul understood this, and he writes this because he also knows how often he falls short. He tells us in Romans chapter 7, he says, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. So this is like a pillar of the faith, the Apostle Paul, right? This guy is the first church planter, and he, like I said, he wrote the majority of the New Testament, and he is telling us, hey, I know what I should do, and I still don't do it, and I wish I could. Verse 24, he even goes on to say, oh, what a miserable person I am. And I would imagine there are at least 2 or 3 or 4, maybe more of us here that can relate to that. We've got caught up in things. We're like, man, I wish I could do this. And I just keep falling short. Man, I struggle here. And I'm just, man, I'm miserable. I can't do this. I never am going to be able to overcome this. And if you feel like I did all the planning, I got all the stuff, I set the goals, I made the vows, and yet I'm still messing up, you're not alone. It's the right intentions. But unfortunately, here's the thing, though we might have the right intentions, oftentimes we have the wrong strategy. And the core of this series, the core of these 6 weeks, is really, it just boils down to this one simple phrase. What do we know about real change? Real change. What do we know about real change? There is an idea out there that real change connects to behavior modification. But that's not how we see it, especially when it comes to us as believers. Real change is not behavior modification. Real change is spiritual transformation. That's really what it boils down to. All right, you can try to change your behavior. You can try to change it. And that stuff can work, and it's there to supplement, but it really boils down to spiritual modification. Spiritual transformation, not spiritual modification. Don't mix the two. It's not just changing the external, but allowing God to change our hearts. Changes from the inside. One of the songs that we would sing like every week when I was in youth group years ago was called, I think it was called Inside Out, right? Right, Thomas, I'm looking at you. Inside Out? Yeah, he's nodding his head, yes. We sang it every, and it was very simple. It was like, now I'm blanking on it. But basically, God changed us from the inside out. That's spiritual transformation. Paul continues by saying in verses 24 through 25, he says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's not behavior modification, it's spiritual transformation. And there's a few things that we're going to look at over the coming weeks that will, I think, give us some answers related to what Jesus shows us. But I want to start with a kind of three mindsets that Christians adapt when it comes to change. These actually come from Jerry Bridges. He's a Christian author. Two of these mindsets are incorrect. One is right. I'm not going to tell you which ones are incorrect or right. You'll figure it out. The first one is this: God, then me. Okay, I will tell you. This is a wrong mindset. God, it's this idea that God initiates by drawing us in, right? And there's elements of it that aren't wrong, but it's this idea that the Holy Spirit grabs your attention and he woos you to a degree, and that grace changes us, and grace does change us, and we are saved by grace. There's truth there, right? God does the work, and he brings us into his family, and that's absolutely right. But this God then me mindset then says, all right, good luck. Like, God is like, he's taking care of you, and now he's just like, good luck. Good luck. Good luck. It's a mindset of basically that it's up to me. Examples of what this would look like would be like, well, I'm going to try and be more patient. I'm trying to get closer to God. I'm trying to clean up my language. I'm trying to spend less time on social media and more with God. It's this whole idea that we, the individual, are going to do that. That's the wrong mindset. The second mindset that's also wrong, it's God, not me. Because it puts all the responsibility on him. And it takes us completely out of the picture. It's saying, God, you do all the heavy lifting, and we're just going to kind of sit back and enjoy everything that you're doing. It's kind of another real-world example. Let's say you don't like your job. Don't raise your hand, but just think about your job. Maybe you don't like your job. It would be saying something like, you know, I'm gonna quit my job for God's glory. And he's gotta bring me a new one. Right? It's like this idea that, well, if I do this for God's glory, even though it's kind of irresponsible, he's gotta now answer the call. He's gotta make things better. Like, that's not a good strategy, in case you were wondering. Or it's someone who wants to be close to God, but they never open their Bible. Right? It's like, yeah, man, I wanna be so close to God, and I wanna encounter his spirit, and you're like, well, man, what have you been reading in the Word? Well, you know, I watched a faith-based movie last week, and it just really, you got to get into God's Word. Or somebody who's like, I feel like something's missing, and I want to encounter God, but they only go to church on Christmas and Easter. And you find yourself asking, why am I not close to God? Well, the answer's pretty clear there, isn't it? And I'm going to be joking on the next one a bit, so it's okay to laugh. But it's the person who spends more money than they make, feels like they can't tithe, but buys a lottery ticket and dedicates it to God. Right? Come on. And then the third mindset is the right one. It's there's God, then me. It's God through me. Right? It's not behavior modification. It's spiritual transformation. Back to the Apostle Paul. He shows us how he processes this very mindset. He's a leading author in the New Testament. Like I said, church planted most of the first churches following Jesus' death and resurrection. And here's what he says. We read this in 1 Corinthians in a letter that he wrote to the church in Corinth. He starts with this. He says, "For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God, who is working through me by his grace." Paul understands his past. He knows what he was. He was hunting Christians. He was wanting to put them to the death. He was an agent of the government, so to speak, to try to stop this movement. And then he has his dramatic conversion, and now he's leading the early church, and he credits all of that transformation to God's grace. It's not anything that he's done. Even when it may seem like, you know, you read how he says, "Well, I've worked harder than any of the other apostles," you might be like, "Oh, Paul, tooting your horn a little bit there." But he still says, "Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace." See, the grace that saves you is the same grace that changes you. It's the same grace. Real change is God through you. So what does that look like tomorrow when you have to work the day before a holiday? Right? Like, how does this work a couple weeks into summer vacation? When you're like, "Man, I'm so ready to send my kids back to school." Like, when's it going to happen? How does this work? What does this look like when the same struggles and the same stumbling blocks keep coming back again and again and again and again? And I think the key is this, and I hope you're ready, because this is just going to, you're going to fall out of your chair, okay? For change to be spiritual transformation, it has to be spiritual. I just saw somebody fall. You can't see it because they're in the back, but it's mind-blowing, right? For change to be spiritual transformation, it has to be spiritual. It has to be, what I mean is, it just has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Like, it's not your willpower. Our willpower does, there's an aspect to that, again, and it takes you so far. But spiritual transformation, not your willpower. It's up to the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is for you that you want to change, you'll have your why and your how. And I want to suggest you add spiritual to your why and how. Your spiritual why is God's purpose for you. God has a purpose for every one of us. Those in this building, those watching online, God has a purpose. Your spiritual how is God's power through you. Practical application. And I kind of prayed this, maybe you heard this, but this morning's message is really like, we are laying a foundation for what I want to talk about. So if this seems very simple and basic to you, it's because it kind of is simple and basic. I mean, the foundation on your house, it's not glamorous, is it? The foundation on your home, you don't even necessarily see it, but without it, your house is going to fall over. So this is one of those things that we need to understand here. Practical application. Most of us here have an iPhone. If you don't have an iPhone, you have some other kind of smartphone. It's getting an Apple notification, letting you know, because they do this now, that you spent like 103 hours on your phone, right, in the prior week. Anybody ever see that? And you're just like, "Oh my goodness, like, did I really just do that?" And you tell yourself, I should probably spend less time on this. Well, thinking about that, something that you would like to change, what's your spiritual why there? Because it would seem very simple, it would seem very practical, but what's the spiritual why there? Well, think back to what Jesus tells us. What's the greatest commandment? It's to love God and love others, right? That's the summary of it all. And so it's your spiritual why would be, I want to be more engaged with God and others rather than just clicking buttons on a screen, right? It's not just about you being better, but it's about you encountering what God has. And another example would be like, well, I want to be better with money. Why? Well, I'm always stressed out about it. Well, what's the spiritual why? Well, everything comes from God, right? And one of the best ways that we honor him, one of the best ways we worship him is to steward wisely. Stewarding wisely. It's to be a blessing to the church. It's to be a blessing to our families and our community and those around us. For spiritual transformation to happen, there needs to be a spiritual element. It's got to be spiritual. It's got to be holy. So you've got your spiritual why. What about your spiritual how? Zechariah 4:6 says this. It says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. When the Holy Spirit is working through you, you're not on your own at that point. You have a stronger power. You've probably noticed these two in, the last 5, 6, maybe longer years. There's a lot more electric bikes that are out there nowadays, right? And I'm not going to lie, I see people riding these electric bikes sometimes, and I get a little jealous. Not because I want one now, but I think back to my childhood, where it's like, man, electric bikes? No, you got to go up that hill on your own, and if you can't make it, you're coming back down it backwards, right? Like, there was no electric battery helping you up that hill. And I remember as a kid getting my first bike that had multiple speeds and just thinking like, I've made it. Like, I'm going to go race professionally now. And, you know, you'd have to work harder in the higher gears. Nowadays, though, it's no big deal with an electric bike. You're cruising up. I remember the first time I saw somebody and I was like, how are they not pedaling? Or why are they pedaling so slow and going up that hill? Electric bike, right? My wife and I went and visited some friends in Texas last year, and we rode electric scooters around the city, and you can like go miles on these scooters, and it was great, and you don't even break a sweat. The reason why I'm telling you all this, if you're wondering, like, what are we going EV at Bayside? Maybe, I don't know, but the reason why I'm telling you this is that God is that stronger power. He's like that electric battery, so to speak, that will help you get to the places that you want to go or accomplish things you want to accomplish that you can't on your own. There are things that you cannot do on your own. And I know that is hard for us in 2023 to hear, because we're told so often, hey, you do you, you make it happen, you need to do this, get out there, hustle, hard work, all of that. But there is just the reality, there are things we can't make happen on our own that we need and require God's Holy Spirit to help us through, no matter how hard we try. So what do you want to change? What is that thing in your life that you're like, man, I need to, this has got to change. You want to be more organized. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe you want to pray with your spouse regularly. Maybe you're like, I need to get into the word more. Or I need to lead my kids in a better way. Add your spiritual why and your spiritual how. And what you'll see over time is that Christ in you is stronger than the wrong desires in you. God's presence kind of starts to, he fills you up to that place where those strong desires, those wrong desires, in a sense, they almost have less room to work. That is the Holy Spirit working in you. And he will help you be disciplined where your sin nature doesn't want you to be. Real change is God through you, not behavior modification. The reality is, if you only change your behavior, because we've all tried this, and you don't allow God to change your heart, eventually the behavior comes back, right? That's why we shouldn't just try. We need to trust. Don't just try. Trust God. Real and lasting change is a reflection of God's power through you. So if you're sick of being stuck, there is power outside of you that will help you change. Maybe you feel like you're still stuck. Maybe some of you feel like, man, I'm still procrastinating. I'm still neglecting those that are close to me. I'm still entertaining what I shouldn't be. I miss more church than I want to. I've got a grudge or bitterness that I just can't get rid of. I'm still spending poorly. I'm still just staring at these screens too often. There's going to be a lot of sub-reasons that we're going to cover during this series, but the main reason is it's a spiritual problem. And in most cases, the reason we don't change is because we try to meet a need or relieve a hurt with something besides God's grace. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to be finishing in just a few minutes with the message, and we'll take communion together. God's grace, I've mentioned it a few times, and again, Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians, he said this, "My grace," and this is God, Paul's writing it on behalf of him, but he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." That's a strange thing to think about on one hand. Boasting about our weaknesses. I don't know about you, but in this past week, I did not go around boasting about the things that I'm weak at. I don't know, maybe you do. That's never been something I've been really like, man, let's just really talk about the things that I'm bad at. That's not, but there's a message here that's beyond that. And I think the first thing is for us to understand, we don't need to be ashamed of the things that we struggled with. You don't need to be ashamed of the things that you've tried to change and they haven't happened. I think what's important for us and what Paul is telling us, embrace the fact that in your weakness, in the midst of your weakness, God is strong. Right there, in the weakness, God is strong. When you are weak, God's power is made perfect. When you mess up, when you fall short, when you take a step back, remember that His grace saves, His grace changes, His grace forgives, and His grace strengthens. Jesus, listen, I think sometimes we think this. Sometimes I think we feel like, man, Jesus came to make me feel better. Or Jesus came to make me better. He didn't come to make us feel better. He came to rescue us. He came to save us. He came to change us. And He came to free us. It's the song and the phrase, "Who the Son has set free is free indeed." I know it's not a phrase for some of you. You're like, it's a scripture. I get it. I know. I got it. He did not come, though, just to make us better. He came to save us. Why don't you stand? If you would just bow your heads with me. First Sunday of every month, we take communion together. And I think it coincides with the start of this series, because what better place to offer our lives and ask God, Lord, I need spiritual transformation. I've tried to do this on my own, but I need you to change me from the inside out. What better place to do that than at His table, receiving communion? A time in which we remember His death and resurrection, and a time in which we remember the fact that He has washed us clean. He has rewritten our story. He has saved us through His grace. And so this morning we'll take communion together, and the team's going to lead us in a song, and we'll do those things. But what I want to do in this moment as I pray is just give you an opportunity just seek out God. It's July 2nd. It's the middle of the year. And for almost all of us, the things that we've wanted to change or the things that we've wanted to be better at, those things have fallen short. But it's a new day. God's mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. And so, Lord, we thank you that today, as we start this series and we just kind of reflect on ultimately our need for you, our need for your Spirit to change our hearts. As we think about that, and as we've talked about that, and as we've looked at Scripture, I pray that now as we go to the table and as we receive communion, we would remember and reflect on what you did for us. The greatest gift ever offered to us. And the greatest opportunity at a new life. Your salvation through your death and your resurrection. And so we give you thanks today. I pray that our hearts in these next few moments as we sing this song, or our hearts would be softened. Maybe there's some things that we've grown callous towards others, or even you, or any number, ourselves. Would you soften our hearts, Lord? Those things that maybe we feel like, man, I'm never going to get this. I'm never going to get past this. I'm never going to overcome this. Help us to stop trying to do it on our own. And whether it's for the first time or the 100th time, to once again say, Lord, take leadership in this area of my life. Lead me. Help me to hear you. Thank you that this is all a reality because you're a God who cares for us, you're a God who loves us, and you are a God who is alive and is right here with us. And so we thank you in your name. Amen.